Hello and welcome to the next episode of the podcast on negotiation. And today with our special guest is Shane Ray Martin. Shane, welcome to our show.
It's amazing to be here and let's get into it.
All righty. We're going to be talking about AI negotiation, and I cannot imagine a better guest than Shane, because Shane is an investor at B Ventures, which is the world's first PE-stack venture capital fund. He works with and evaluates startups building the future of AI and negotiation. He's an AI researcher at American University, LinkedIn top voice in negotiation. He's written 3 books, 2 of them on AI negotiations, and he's writing his 4th, called AI Negotiations, set to come out in 2025. Or 26. Let's see. Welcome, Shane, to our show. Super excited to find out and learn more from you about AI negotiations.
Yes. First and foremost, before we get into AI negotiations, there's a congratulations actually in order for you, Remy, because of your post of winning Professor of the Year at your university. And I don't want that to be missed in this conversation, because one of the reasons why I'm talking with you today is because of the negotiation challenge, which I know is coming up very soon. I participated almost 5 years ago. It was a huge shift in how I approached, did, and even the passion that I have for negotiations. So you are a piece of that. And I just wanted to make sure, I know that I'm one of many who have benefited from the work that you and Peter have done over the years. And I'm so grateful to have this conversation with you. I'm so grateful for you, and you deserve all the congratulations in the world. So I wanted to start with that.
All right, Shane, thank you so much for your kind words. Yes, I was super surprised and humbled when I received the award from our dean. And yes, thank you, my dear students. If you're out there, if you're listening to this, I learn from you more than you probably have learned from me. Yes, it's been a great adventure, and still day one feels still like it was still day one. But anyway, AI and negotiations, Shane, tell us a little bit more about common misconceptions and beliefs in what AI in negotiation is, can do, cannot do, is not. I'm sure you've had lots of conversations about it in the past. Yeah. So what is true? What is false?
We've many conversations, and there are a lot of things that are true. There are a lot of things that are false. Let's start with the false piece first. So one thing that I believe is personally false is that AI is going to replace all of us in complex negotiations in the immediate future. I believe that that is false. And the reason why is because negotiations are so layered. They can be so complicated, also simple, but those complicated negotiations, I don't foresee AI necessarily replacing humans immediately. Now, on the true side, at the same time, I believe if there's one takeaway from today's session, it's this: we are entering a new era of negotiations. The way that we get deals done today is not going to be the way in which we get deals done tomorrow. An example of this, for example, in the TNC competition, I know this year you are incorporating AI tools to equip negotiators to deliver better results, hopefully create more value and capture more value, which I know is something that you're consistently preaching and talking about and coaching. So if these new tools are going to equip negotiators, what then does the future look like? And that's a great question that we should focus on and also have some fun with. So I'm hopeful that this conversation today will inspire some people to try AI a little bit in their negotiations. It'll also maybe encourage people to be aware of the risks of AI in negotiations. And then we'll see, you know, where else the conversation takes us.
Hey, absolutely. And aren't you afraid that, you know, the complexity is exactly the reason why AI can perform actually better than people could?
Well, again, it's such a lawyer-like answer, but it totally depends on the negotiation. You have startups right now that I'm seeing, one of them being involved with TNC as well, that are completely innovating the way in which we get negotiations done. So, example, Pactum, which has been around for 5 years, has been automating long tail negotiations, but then you have Uncapped. You have also some stealth startups that we've been looking at that are creating these sort of really unique tools that are going to be able to make the negotiator be more prepared, more efficient. That way they can focus more on the higher level stuff rather than being in the weeds or doing this sort of tactical. Right. which I think AI is really great at, and I have some examples that we can get to as well.
Right, that's awesome. Have you used any of those tools? Have you negotiated with an AI-based support system, or have you negotiated against an AI autonomous bot? What's your take on this? What's your feeling? What's your experience with this?
So yes, yes, and then yes. So triple yeses. So yes, where do we begin? All right, so for using actual bots, let's start there. So yes, back in the day when Pactum first, for example, Pactum had a live demo of their sort of chatbot on their landing page at one point. That was sort of my first exposure. And then the second is there's another company called Nibble as well that's automating negotiations as well. So there's like two examples of chatbots being in the real world, creating real savings. So those are two examples. But the third is the question is like, do I use AI in negotiations? I use AI every single day. And the idea is to think of AI as almost like not necessarily you as a replacement, but as your assistant. You need to tell the AI who it is, because all the AI is really a prediction machine. Think of AI as like a prediction machine. It can help you, for example, in the context of a negotiation. It can help you predict what the other side might be interested in. It can help you predict what the other side might say no to. It can predict where the areas you might be able to create value in the negotiation. Those are three right off the bat. And that's just scratching the surface. If we take it to the next level, there's even AIs that are creating digital twins of whole organizations. So you can predict how they'll respond to negotiations before the negotiation even starts. You have AIs that are creating digital twins to help maybe even M&A negotiations be smoother. How will the cultures mesh? How will they pulse together when you have AI duplicating their whole societies? That's sort of next level, and that's sort of down the line. But and the final thought is another thing to be on the lookout for is, so a thing to be on the lookout for, and then another sort of interesting study and takeaway, a thing to be on the lookout for is AI agents, where you have sort of multiple large language models, and we can get into that, are working on your behalf. So you can have an agent who's listening, you can have an agent who's analyzing, you can have an agent who's writing a follow-up email to the person who you're negotiating with. So that's like the next step of the sort of AI revolution, the next step of negotiation. So if you were to map out your entire negotiation process and say, what's costing us the most time, what's most inefficient, I'm pretty confident that you would be able to deploy an AI agent to that specific issue, that specific problem. And you're already seeing tons of examples like that, especially in startup land where people are innovating, where there's innovation happening really, really quickly. And it's super fascinating. Final thought on this is, at American University, for example, we did an experiment with 200 students. They were all negotiating rent, and they were all negotiating with AI, but half the group thought that they were negotiating with humans. The other half thought they knew they were negotiating with AI. What happened was, in the results, people actually enjoyed and got better deals when they thought that they were negotiating with a human. So there's something to be said. Something happens when the mindset of the negotiator knows they're going against a bot versus they think that they're going against a human. Again, this is just a small, like very, very early study, but that's an example of like the human intuition, the human ingenuity, the creativity that sort of burns in our hearts in negotiations. It's going to be very difficult for that to be replaced.
Wow, that's amazing, Shane. I see two major trends out there in terms of tech development or product development in that space. One is AI-based assistant systems, which means that you describe assisting decision makers to reduce the complexity, to somehow manage the information that is flowing from one direction to the other, but also to help with the preparation, help derive, help structure preference structures of negotiation partners. But there are also autonomous negotiation bots, right, to handle standardized, multiple parallel standardized negotiations, which typically are very well structured, which have access also to market prices and have access to past deal structures. So which of these two development trends do you see more persistent? You think it's going to go in the direction of supporting real decision makers? Or do you think it's going to go in the direction of handling the complexity with the autonomy as an agent, as a bot?
It's probably going to go in both directions. I think it's a matter of which direction is solving the biggest problem that people care about, because how companies think is they deploy capital to solve problems. So whichever is the sort of the biggest thorn in the side is probably where the most innovation, as you know, you are a philosopher of innovation, I would call you, Remy. And so you know that innovation, you know, often, more often than not, capital is deployed to where problems are being solved. And the bigger the problem, usually the more capital that's being deployed to it. So the organizations that are running negotiations right now out of spreadsheets and multiple tabs, to me, when I see those, I think ripe for disruption. So I think you're going to see both sides. You're going to see complexities with the decision makers. You're also going to see bots. It's hard to say, you know, where it's going to be, but we'll see. Time will tell.
Time will tell. Yes, exactly. And I think this is how markets work, right? Ultimately, more money is pumped into the startups that keep on solving more relevant problems, right? And I think at the moment, it's very hard to see which direction it is going. Though I feel that many negotiators are reluctant to lose control over the process, or let's say transition the control over to the machine, especially if they do not really know how this machine works. Yeah? So I'm sort of on the side of support systems, although I would not exclude let's say autonomous bots completely, especially if an alternative is a pure auction.
Yeah, it's true. I think about it from the complex. I know right now listening, there are people who are in B2B negotiations, or they're selling or they're buying something. So they're constantly communicating with others. And the way to think about AI is like, it's like having a coach in your ear, or like two boxers who are fighting. After the round, you go back to the corner and you get some tips, you get some support, you get new ideas. And that's the idea of like how to approach AI, is like, it's like your coach, it's your assistant, it's not you.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more, Shane. What's your take on the programmed objectives of those autonomous systems or AI-based systems? Is it more value creation, or is it more value claiming? What do you think?
I guess it depends on who built the bot, right? You would hope that the designer of the bot, or do you have an example? Like, what's an example? So we can be more specific.
Oh, right. Yes, absolutely. So, so are the bots built to win at all cost? Right. So, like, let's say, what is the objective function? Is the objective function to make sure that the bot claims the most value? Yes. Or is the objective function to not to leave the money on the table, strive for the Pareto efficiency, divide whatever value has been created fairly among the participants. Yeah? So I feel that if I were to design a bot, I would parametrize this function and make it completely dependent on the customer. Yes, because I can imagine that there are customers out there who rely on the bot's performance in terms of claiming value. I'm thinking about procurement now, right? Because, if an AI autonomous bot is to replace an auction, it has to be at least as good as an auction in creating or claiming value for the company, and be better in building the relationship, right? So I tend to think that many bots are designed to claim value, which will leave value creation a little bit short, because see, bots or any algorithms do not acknowledge vacuum, right? And in terms of lack of objectives, they will do something. Yes, they need to be told to do something. And the question is, what is this something that they will be told to optimize? Is it the efficiency? Is it value claiming? Maybe both. And if both, then with what priority? What's your take on it, right, Shane?
Well, the beautiful thing about it is that the business can alter or change the bot depending on its needs. So if the company is maybe in a safer position, then maybe they don't need to program the bot to capture maximum value every single time. Maybe they can program a bot to where it's looking for abilities to create value and then capture it. But like knowing, going through the MBA program here in DC, knowing how business works, it's likely that most bots are going to be programmed to capture as much value as possible. Let's just be candid. And so it actually might leave an opportunity now, if you're programming a bot, to what if, like, if we think basic, this is why the basics of negotiation, no matter what, whether we're, you know, entering this crazy AI age or not, like knowing the fundamentals will pay off so hugely for you. And that's why they're so critical, because we know the research says that the negotiators who are in the collaborative mindset and who are trying to create value are ultimately the ones in the long term who win. Now, it's really hard to remember that when you're negotiating with stress. It's also really hard to remember that when you're negotiating with someone who you don't like. And I actually think that's the mark of a great negotiator. Can you get a deal done with someone who maybe you don't personally enjoy spending time with? But that's a conversation for another time. So the answer is that if we can program bots to create value, then that's really special. Now the bots, the two bots that I've programmed or worked on programming, they have really just, there hasn't been, I don't remember setting any intention of like, hey, in the first 5 minutes of negotiation, create value and then capture it. Like, no. We didn't program them like that. We program them as like just maximize the deal. So I think that would be a great follow-on sort of potential experiment to experiment with, is like, what if a bot was programmed only to create value and then find ways to capture it and also help the other person as well? Because fundamentally, in my view, this is maybe controversial to some, but the negotiations that I want to do, I want to try to leave the other side better than when I started with them. And so if the bot can do that, then you know, you're really onto something. And there are companies who are doing that well.
Yes, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. And even not setting a certain parameter, not parameterizing value creation or value claiming or a combination of these two objectives, still doesn't mean, you know, that the bot has not been trained or on certain data, right? On certain, let's say, texts which are available, and the text might be primed in one way or another, right? As being more distributive or as being more integrative. So we're getting lots of questions in the chat, lots of them. I cannot remember reading so many of them.
Let's take one.
Yes, absolutely. So Piyush asking is, if buyers make bots to negotiate, can sellers also have bots to reply to buyers' bots?
Yeah, there's going to be a world where your bot is negotiating with my bot, for sure.
For sure. But the question is, you know, if one is trained to claim value and the other one is claimed to create value, which one is going to win?
I wish I knew. There's only one way to find out, is to actually test it. What do you think?
Oh, that's going to be fun, because, you know, this is a cooperation competition type of a matrix. So if there is one that cooperates with the one that's uncooperative, is the uncooperative, unfortunately, that is going to win. Yes. And therefore the solution to that is not that both cooperate. The solution is that both end up competing, and therefore potentially losing the deal. And so that's going to be interesting, because bots are extremely rational, yes, or AI tools are extremely rational in what they do. They do basically what they are programmed to do. Yes? We can predict, to a large extent, we can predict the behavior based on the training material that has been used to develop those bots. But coming back to the men with machine setup, right? So the support system, AI-based support systems. Shane, what is that the negotiator, what are the skills that negotiators need to bring with them in order to be able to, let's say, use the potential of the tandem?
Be able to use AI?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, first, I would start with this, your mindset. Don't be frightened by AI. Don't read the news, but like, don't be so encapsulated by all the negativity surrounding AI. Perception of the bot, I think, is so huge, or perception of AI is huge. there's a lot of unknowns of like where we're necessarily headed. And I would just encourage people first and foremost, like have the mindset of at least trying and experimenting. After all, like that's what a great negotiator does. You try different things, you fail, and then you try again. So once you have a mindset of like, all right, I'm not going to be intimidated, I'm not going to be frightened by this, the first step is like really to like create an account, feed it information, share with it your situation to the best of your abilities, and ask, make the ask, see, and push the limits of ChatGPT, push the limits of Claude, push the limits of Gemini, see where you can take it and see if it can be helpful for you. A practical example is I was helping a chief pharmacy officer who was negotiating a contract to join one of Mark Cuban's companies. And what we did is we took her negotiation scripts, we put her the whole strategy in there. We took the scripts, we asked it to make the scripts more persuasive for this specific target audience who's this specific job, and it was mind-blowing. It did and gave scripts, it gave tips that I, you know, would have probably never even thought of. And that was like a practical, and then she got the $30,000+ raise on her salary. It was incredible. So it's like, think of little sort of things you can do. That's one example. Another example is, before I'm going into negotiation, I noticed the person I'm negotiating with had done a podcast. So I took that podcast transcript, uploaded it into ChatGPT, and said, tell me everything I should know about this person who I'm going to be entering a negotiation with. Share with me their potential blind spots, weaknesses, and also strengths. That way I can be more aware of them. That literally takes 15 seconds, and just that step alone has saved you 10+ hours. And so that's what AI can do. It can cut the sort of extra work that you'd have to hire someone for, and it can make it easier for you. So those are like just two very simple use cases of a massive list that I've been building and working on and talking with great people who are sort of contributing to this as well. And if there are more questions related to that too in the chat, I would love to get to them.
We have another one from Calvin, and it's to you. So Shane, as AI relates to global conflict and negotiation, where most of the conflict data points are not accessible to AI, how does this impact the relevancy of AI and global conflict and negotiation? Congrats on your progress, by the way, also from me to you, Shane.
That's so nice. So Calvin is an absolute legend. Let me preface that with the context of this question. Calvin has been on the front lines in war zones negotiating with people. So that's probably where his heart for the question comes from. So basically he's saying where there maybe isn't data points that aren't accessible, then the answer would be like, do what you can with what you have. Isn't that the spirit of a negotiator anyways? Like if you don't have data points, you see and base and sort of analyze and sort of look to see what you do have and then see where you can use it. But how does that impact the relevancy of AI and global conflicts and negotiation? Well, I'll share just an example. Like just the other day, we were whiteboarding the whole how peace is done in negotiations. We whiteboarded on the board, this huge board. We wrote out all the steps right now of how diplomatic negotiations are done. And it looked so wildly inefficient. You have coalition building, you have back and forth, you have mediators going room to room to room. It's like, there's got to be a better way to do this. You have mediators who are meeting in rooms for like 3 or 4 weeks at a time, locking themselves in rooms, brainstorming, when AI can do all of this now. It can do all of this. And also it can do it way better, way better. And that's why I'm saying that there's so much potential in this field. It's just a matter of like, what is the potential? And I think that's the question that Calvin's getting at here.
Right. So a thought experiment. Let's assume that Russian programmers have developed a peace building bot for Vladimir Putin. And let's assume that there is a bot also on the Ukrainian side representing Ukrainian interests. Do you think these bots would find a solution towards the violent conflict that is going on right now between Russia and Ukraine?
Well, there's no solution now that we know of. So it probably would do better. At a minimum, it could at least give ideas of a drafted solution, or at a minimum, like so much of these peace negotiations, just diplomatically, they start with like a framework of like what is being negotiated. So they're negotiating the rules of the negotiation before they negotiate. And so other countries are doing that on the behalf of them. And then they come together. So the US will like pitch a framework for an agreement, and then they will eventually negotiate. But that's just not, it doesn't seem like that's happening that we know. But Calvin's question sort of hints at that. Is like, you know, there's so much that we don't know. But yeah, don't you think? I mean, if the bots, you know, either rational or irrational, you know, could they come up with better solutions? Well, yes, because there isn't any solutions right now that I know of.
That's true. That's true. So a warm recommendation to Vladimir Putin. Hey, dude, get an AI-based negotiation bot and send it to, Minsk, Kiev, Istanbul to negotiate the peace process, right? I mean, I know it's too simplistic, but I'm not sure what else we can recommend to end this violent conflict. How about the future? Go ahead.
You said simplistic. Those are the best solutions. That when it comes to peace, there's so much confusion. There's so much talk. There's so many things that are just being regurgitated. Just this, you sort of like ecosystem of just like a, you know, that's a whole nother conversation for another day. But my observation of the peace space is like, there's so many complicated solutions. Why not just a simple one?
Why not a simple one? Yes, exactly. So let's dare a look into the future. Yeah. So now we know basically what the trends are. Yeah, what is the direction in which the developers or product people at this at well-funded startups are working towards? How do you perceive the future of AI in negotiation? How will it look like?
Well, I'm hopeful that it will look like negotiators are negotiating faster, so more quickly. And also in a more intelligent way, so smarter. That's just to keep it, you know, along the lines of simplicity. Like if AI is your assistant, hopefully it can help you get to better deals faster for everyone, but especially for you. So if think about it, if you're more prepared for your negotiation, you're probably going to perform better. You're going to have less anxiety. You're going to have more confidence, which are all things that help you get deals done. So my hope is that AI will accelerate the negotiation process and also just make you smarter and better. And one final thought, gosh, you're going to have to put me on the mute button, Remy, but this is just like, it's so critical because I hear people talk about how like AI isn't replacing this or AI can't do that or AI isn't this. And it's like, yeah, you might be right. But like if the other side's using AI and you're not, depending of course on the context, like, don't you think that you're at a disadvantage? And if your answer is no, then I would challenge and say that, well, if you're using AI and you're not feeling the benefits of it, you might not be using it right. You're actually probably using it wrong. And also you're not using it to its full capabilities. And that's sort of the challenge and the offer, the invitation I would put out to people is like, if you're feeling overwhelmed by it, that's okay. Me too. I think all of us to a certain extent, especially when ChatGPT first came out. But if you're not getting the results, it might be because you haven't taken enough time to learn how it actually works.
That sounds great, Shane. What do you think about, let's say, down the road, the risk of becoming too dependent on AI-based solutions to resolve conflict? Will kids still be able to agree on how to divide their toys among each other without AI? Will we still be able to resolve conflicts in a relationship without logging on to a computer? What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm hopeful for like, there's something really beautiful about allowing kids to be kids. And like when they're kids, they're developing these negotiation skills, the soft skills that you're talking about. So like, we should, I'm definitely not the guy who's going to say, or have ever said like AI is we should completely change how we negotiate. We should completely throw everything out. It's like, no. Like, AI can be like the layer on top. It can be like the icing on a cake, Remy. Like a congratulations for your award cake. Like it can be the icing that makes negotiations sweeter. And that's the idea. The idea isn't to throw out the whole recipe. The idea is to build on the amazing work of all the wonderful negotiators, both men and women who have come before us, and say, how can we take the way we negotiate to the next level? What is the future of negotiation? This is the question that we need to ask. And it's pretty clear that the future involves more technology than ever before. So how can we prepare for that? We do that by having conversations like this, by experimenting, by trying, by building, and by failing, by learning, and then trying again. That's the recipe that I'm going with now. And that's the recipe that I'm hopeful and plan to commit as of today, my entire life to. This is like everything. There's so much potential for disruption in the way we negotiate. And I'm hopeful to be just a small and important part of sort of the conversation we can move forward on how technology can help us, not hurt us.
Amazing, Shane. Yes, I'm so happy to have been a part of your path in the past, and I'll be watching very, very closely your progress together with many people in the audience. By the way, before we ask Jim's questions, let me mention, if you guys would like to test AI in negotiation, our negotiation competition for professionals this year will include access to a prototype of an AI decision support system developed by Uncapped, which is a Sydney-based Australian, Sydney-based development company. And if you guys are interested, make sure you reach out or you stay until the end of our podcast, which is coming very, very soon, because Shane has to run to take further classes. But let's go with Jim's question. Companies often seek to improve profit margins by optimizing their contracts, assuming access to relevant data. How can AI be used to analyze existing contracts to identify opportunities for margin improvements? Furthermore, how can AI prioritize these opportunities and provide actionable recommendations that are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound? Smart.
Well, Jim must work at Google, you know, because they're all about the OKRs and SMART goals. Do you want to take this or do you want me to?
Oh, go ahead, Shane.
All right. Can you flash it back up on the screen? Because there is multiple questions layered in here. Also, I so appreciate people who are asking questions that are actually asking questions. I can't tell you how many events we've been to where people will grab the microphone and share their whole life stories. But that's neither here nor there. I've also been on the receiving end of that, hosting events all the time. So it's wonderful. So these are fantastic questions. Okay, let's tackle it one by one. How can AI be used to analyze existing contracts that identify opportunities? So the first thing that comes to mind is like one of the great things, Remy, I think you hinted at this, like AI is pretty good at detecting patterns over and over and over again. So eventually, I mean, it's already happening now, and it's definitely happening within the big companies like Google, where AI can essentially predict, you know, what worked really well in this contract, what didn't work well, what's likely for it to happen. And then I have one sort of prediction to add to that. Like in the contracting space specifically, I imagine a future, if there's already a startup working on this, or if there isn't, this is a problem asking to be solved. Like if there are clauses with like a prediction score, like this is 73% likely to be accepted, or this is 10% likely to be accepted. I think that's the future where we're going, this sort of more data-driven approach to negotiation. So I see that being one component. And then he says, how can AI prioritize these opportunities and provide recommendations? I think about a company, for example, called Procuro, where they're using AI agents to get so much more value out of the contracts. So essentially, they're using agents to analyze contracts, and then they're using agents to write better terms. They're using agents to make recommendations. So I think what you're going to see when it comes to the SMART goals, you're going to see startups vertically sort of solving problems within the negotiation process. We haven't seen yet a negotiation company or a company in general or a startup in general solve all of these problems. And I think it's just because of the very nature in which AI is built and what it's good at. It's like very vertical, it's very niche. So I think you're going to see that sort of approach first. And, you know, and then who knows, you know, at the end of the day, like this is, you know, everything that we're saying might be outdated in 6 months. So I think we should caveat all of this with that.
Absolutely. And my two cents to Jim's question is the reason why Pactum has been so successful in terms of their implementations with really large companies and successful companies is because they place their bet on negotiations, which indeed can be tied to market prices. Yes. The prices which can be monitored and the prices which can be fed into the algorithm that would then let's say suggest improvement, make improvement suggestions in the procurement, especially in the procurement year. So my favorite examples, if Walmart is to handle parallel negotiations with 50 egg producers or whatever producers that might be they might be want to handle in parallel, well, we can very well detect or can very well monitor prices of eggs, let's say the development of egg prices over whatever time period we are interested in. And we can easily build a score on all issues that are relevant for egg delivery contract to Walmart and into the algorithm. So it's as long as there are parameters that can be fed into the algorithm that allow it to differentiate between value of a clause over another, or get a better feeling of how much it costs to produce a certain good, or what is the market price, or how it has developed over the last years. I think when it comes to commodity-like goods, it's very it's a classic that an autonomous bot should be able to handle them really well. It's a very good example, I think, of a deployment area which works well. The more complex the setting, I think the more we're moving towards a decision support system, yes, where a human negotiator has to evaluate the proposals of the AI algorithm, and AI algorithm has the power to streamline the complexity, right? So streamline the complexity of the preparation and also streamline the complexity of during the negotiation process. We have a couple more questions here. So Shane, this one is it's I almost ask you to promote your book, yeah. One of the books on AI. How will you prepare and train your ChatGPT-4 in order to understand the feelings of the counterpart? Or is it too early to talk about emotions comprehensions for an AI at this point? So Shane, what do you think?
Yeah, Ahmed, thank you so much for the question and the super kind words. So is it too early? I like the last part here, the middle part of this question. It's a really good question. Is it too early to talk about emotions comprehensions for an AI at this day? No, it's definitely not too early. I think about if you have Grammarly Pro, for example, Grammarly is analyzing your email and accurately predicting the tone of your email. So if it's happening in your writing, it's going to be happening in your speaking next. In fact, even taking that to the next level, for example, years ago, there's a company called Gong that was based out of Israel and San Francisco, where they're analyzing easily the tones, the emotions of the buyer, for example, if you're negotiating or selling to them, pretty accurately through tone, through body language, through all sort of different sort of areas. That's kind of their magic sauce, is they are able to provide, they call it like revenue intelligence, for example. They can sort of predict, like again, like think of AI as like a prediction machine, and always test, don't always believe it on its face value, but like test to see if it's true. And so I think you're definitely going to see like some sort of AI. Again, it's going to be like a point solution. It's going to be like a very narrow sort of solution. I don't know who's going to come up with it, but like I do see a future where like if you and I, Ahmed, are sitting in a Zoom on a negotiation, I see a future where there's something telling you like, oh, like Shane may have not liked your proposal, ask him questions. Or it might even say like, ooh, Shane didn't like your answer, or I think Shane could share more, ask him this question. And that ties really nicely to Jim's question about, yes. So that's where we're headed. It's already here. The answer is it's already here.
It's already here. So do you think an AI autonomous bot would stand a chance against human negotiators in our negotiation competition?
Would this be the first round or the championship round? Because, you know, the stakes are a little higher. That's indeed the case.
So you've taken part in our competition. Yes. Now imagine twice already. Yes, exactly. And by the way, if you guys want to share Shane experience this year, as I mentioned, we'll be testing the Copilot. The Copilot, which is a decision support system developed by Uncapped, which helps you prepare. Provides you with solid reasoning based on the information you will share, based on the information delivered in the briefs, but also based on the information that are shared from your partner. So if you're interested, go to thenegotiationchallenge.org, yes, and check out our website. And by the way, if you're very, very interested, we have a very special offer, only valid today. Reach out to me and I'll gladly share the details of the offer. So Shane, what do you think? Would AI bots stand a chance against the best negotiators in the world?
I'm going to go with AI.
You're going to go with AI?
I'm going to go with AI. And of course the context, you know, I usually don't choose necessarily sides because I'm a peacemaker at heart. I feel like I always have been. But so, for the sake of this talk and the research and everything we talked about, I would look silly if I said that the human was going to win instead of the AI. I'm very pro AI, but I'm also always going to be pro human, pro competitor. So I actually think that, you know, if the competitor isn't able to use AI and you're going up just against the AI, I don't know. I've seen too much good stuff. I've seen it negotiate too well, so much better than anyone I've negotiated with. The only question mark is that emotional component. I know a critical portion, you know, half of your score in TNC is how the other side feels about you or what's your relationship with them. So that, I mean, could be potentially questionable. They may not have a sort of good experience, but if the AI bot is programmed to be respectful, kind, and just, then I really see the AI beating the human in this sort of setup. And then a final thought on TNC is, I've competed in it twice, and I've been really fortunate to do negotiation training with Black Swan, Chris Voss. I've been really fortunate to go to the Harvard program on negotiation. I've negotiated tons of B2B negotiations. And the one thing over and over that has been most helpful above all of that is the TNC competition. And I'm not saying that just because, or you like to ask me to say that, you definitely didn't. I really believe it because you get actual feedback from people who are watching you negotiate. And that is priceless. That was worth so much more than me. I needed it. And the first time I competed versus the second time I competed, I actually improved. I moved up the rankings because I tried to implement the feedback the best I possibly could. And so if you have the opportunity to compete, I highly recommend it. It's so worth the investment. It's so worth the time. And I'm so thankful that I did it. And I, again, highly encourage you to sign up.
Thank you, Shane, for your endorsement. Thank you, Shane, for your recommendation. So it seems that if your vote is for AI, it seems that we'll have to include AI bots in our future competitions, right? I'm going to reach out to the leaders in the field and see whether they dare to make their bots available for our competition. I'd be very curious to see how well they do against each other, with each other, and with other humans. And guys, if any of you have appetite for taking part in TNC and testing AI negotiation support systems, please reach out to me. We have a very special offer, valid only today. Registration deadline is October 1st. So please hurry and join some of the world's best negotiators like Shane in a competition which is going to start already next week. Shane, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your passion for AI in negotiation. It was a great privilege and pleasure to having you on our show today. Good luck with everything, and let's keep in touch. Thank you, Shane.
Thanks. Let's keep in touch, and congratulations again on your award, and I wish everyone the absolute best in the competition this year.
All right. Thank you, Shane. Take care. Bye-bye.